The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. There they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, all love, and all light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let me tell you a little bit about our dog, Vivi. I know, right? My wife is like, "Oh gosh." Vivi is 9 years old, but you would think that she was 9 months old at times. She's a Jack Russell Terrier mix. So she is very much puppy all the time. She is high energy. And she, of course, likes to go on walks. And we don't walk her. She kind of walks us in many ways because she is definitely leading us. And, of course, she's on a leash. And we'll get back from a walk, and she's very anxious to get off the leash. She does not like to be confined unless there's a big pile of comforts, blankets and pillows and whatnot. So we'll, like, go right inside the door. You start reaching to unleash her, and she is already pulling. She is eager to go to the windows to look for squirrels she can't have or something, right? So you let go of her, and after she's unleashed, and she literally sprints through the house. And she loves her freedom. She loves to be set free. She loves to be unbounded. That's a powerful image, I think, for today's gospel, because it's all about liberation. So I think of my dog being unleashed, just flying through the house. In fact, an overarching theme throughout all of the Gospel of Mark is that of liberation, that of freedom. Jesus is giving people an opportunity to discover their full potential and possibility, who God created them to be. So in the Gospel of Mark, the chief role of Jesus is that of liberator, to remove what is holding people back, what's confining people, what's tethering them to their past and way of life that is not life-giving. I can imagine the theme song for the Gospel of Mark being the U2 song, "Beautiful Day." Beautiful day. And the refrain of that goes like this: "It's a beautiful day, don't let it get away, it's a beautiful day." I can imagine whoever's being liberated from something, right? Whether it's a demon or the way of life that they were living, that right after Jesus removes whatever is holding them back, after they're liberated, that they just break into song. "It's a beautiful day." Or if they don't break into song, the song is blared behind them, right? And it goes like this, for those who don't know the best band alive, in my opinion. So I can imagine them singing this song once the demon has been removed, because it becomes a beautiful day. They experience life in a way that they've never experienced it before. And that's exactly what we see in today's gospel. We have this demon-possessed man who is just going about his life, and his favorite U2 song, his theme song at this point before he meets Jesus is, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." So he's walking along, and he goes into the synagogue, and Jesus is teaching. Now, this man is bothered by this, all right? This man is kind of a stuck in the mud, or actually I would like to say stuck in concrete. That's how unwavering he is, because Jesus is challenging him. Jesus has no authority to be teaching, and then he ends up healing him, which is work on the Sabbath. This is mind-boggling to this gentleman. He absolutely can't fathom what is going on. But then the good news of Jesus liberates him. The demon comes out of him, and we're not sure what happens to him after that, but I can imagine him singing, "It's a Beautiful Day," because he's experiencing life in a new way at that very moment. The world still needs a liberator. Our own lives still need liberation. Jesus shows up in each of our lives to free us from whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in, whatever disappointments we have, our selfish ways, our hurts, and our greatest disappointments. Jesus is there to say, "Be free, be free." And those things may not be removed completely as they are in today's gospel, but Jesus frees us from those things by being our constant companion when life does get difficult, by giving us resources to overcome the harsh realities of life, by giving us a perspective that we need in order to see goodness in the midst of difficulty. So what might be tethering you from living a more meaningful life at this very moment? What's holding you back? Note that I said meaningful life, not a stress-free life or even a happy life, but a meaningful or purposeful or abundant life. The same liberating power that freed the stuck-in-the-concrete man in today's gospel can free you as well. That's the good news we proclaim. That's the good news we extract from the Gospel of Mark. All of us, at some point in life, have both small and really profound things that prevent us from living the life that God intends. It could be greed or some other form of selfishness. It could be the lack of resources in our lives. It could be material things that get in the way, or prioritizing other things over what is really life-giving. Or it could be our own self-image that we're trying to protect, or a variety of addictions, or fear, self-righteousness, or an unwillingness to change, as we see in today's gospel. And Jesus comes to say, "Be free, be free, be free." Yes, sometimes it's not as instantaneous as it is in today's gospel. Jesus comes, the demon is moved, the guy moves on with his life. Most of the time, my experience is life doesn't work that way. So this is more of a process. God has given us a variety of resources to help us find true liberation. Whether it's support of family or friends or counselors or other professionals, God works through this faith community to support you and others to find freedom in life. And a word of caution, we have to be very careful that our sense of and desire for freedom doesn't lead us to shirk our responsibilities or escape what we really need to be dealing with at any given moment. So for example, if your job is really holding you back and you feel that you're miserable in your job and you have a family that you're trying to support, you may want to have a succession plan before you give your 2 weeks notice, right? So know that God might be wanting you to be liberated from your job so that you can live a better life, but you have to think about all the different dimensions of that and really think about how it will impact those around you. So part of being set free is also to reflect on the question, for what are we being freed? How will it help my life and the life of those around me? Here's a very concrete example of being set free and living a purposeful life that provides meaning to others. Some of you may know the story of Millard and Linda Fuller. They became quite well known in the 70s, but during the 60s, they were millionaires. They were millionaires that had no room for God. They found all of their comfort and security in money and material things. That's it. Their source of life was not from God. They tried to find it somewhere else. So they really tried to look for different options to find true meaning and happiness in life. So eventually they discovered that the material goods and their money, those things were really getting in the way. So they had a conversion experience where God, invited them to consider a different way of life. So they ended up getting rid of most of their material things, the excess material things. They gave away most of their money. They then go to the Democratic Republic of Congo to build homes there, sustainable living for people there. And then they come back to the United States, and in 1976, they founded Habitat for Humanity, one of the largest humanitarian organizations in the world now. And it all started by the Fullers. Yes, God could have given them this invitation to be freed from material goods and wealth. And they could have just said, okay, we have less stress now. We feel good about ourselves. We're living a more simple life. They could have just stayed there. But they responded to the question, for what are we being freed? And then that's when they went on to Africa, then back to the United States to develop a program for affordable housing. You probably have stories like that too. And that type of action gives us indication that God is still working in our world, that God is still setting people free, that God is still setting us free from what holds us back. God is still setting you free so that you can act and speak in ways that will set others free. May that be our source of hope. May that be our source of joy. And may you always hear every time that happens, when you're set free and when new life occurs, that you hear that wonderful song, "It's a Beautiful Day," playing in the background. And if you need to break into song to do that, you do that. Amen.